Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy with WOKV, and I wanted to welcome you to another edition of our Sunday of the Ask the Experts weekend. We know that this hour is the Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, and we know that Pete the Job Guy Langlois, he introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals, all done with an honest and entertaining filter. However, this Sunday is a little bit different because we sent Pete away on assignment. You know, he's been doing this radio thing for a while now, so we figured we'd get some use out of him. So we sent him away to cover some stories. And filling in today is one of his longtime guests, I think actually his first guest and a longtime favorite of the show, Lori Day. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Good morning, all you hard workers out there. Welcome to Hard Worker. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, and as you can probably tell by my voice and my accent, I am not Pete the Job Guy, but I'm the takeover host, Lori Day. If you're a regular listener, my voice might be familiar to you. I've been on the show a couple of times and had the distinct privilege of being Pete's very first guest on Hard Worker, which was, I think, about a year ago now. Well, I'm currently working as a consultant at CGI, one of the largest independent IT and business consulting services firms in the world. And the thing is, I've never worked for a technology company before. So guess what? We're going to talk about transferable skills today. But before we go down the road too far, and since Pete isn't here, I would like all of our regular listeners to know, yes, I have dogs, but I like cats too. As our producer Josh said, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. In fact, some of the content actually comes directly from you. So folks, if you have a work situation you'd like Pete and his guest to discuss on the air, or if you even want some private advice, reach out to him by email. You can do that at pete@petethejobguy.com. Who knows, your topic might be highlighted in the mailbag, or questions that would come up, or it could even spark a whole episode. Each week, this show is chock full of information and helpful tips from local experts ready to help you. We focus on feed forward, not feedback. We share lessons of successes and hard knocks to help you, hopefully, avoid pitfalls, but also to be proactive about achieving your goals. So grab your coffee and get ready. But make no mistake, this show is not for the coasters, or as Pete would say, the coastas. If you think doing the minimum required is good enough, then you can go back to sleep now. But I suspect those of you who are tuning in right now are up early because you are a hard worker and you want to take your career or company to the next level. Well, we have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about transferable skills and why having them and knowing what they are is really important. I have two amazing guests with me today who you'll meet shortly. Michelle Cook is the Atlantic Beach Chief of Police, and Dolores O'Neill is the Assistant Chief at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. They definitely know of the value of transferable skills and are eager to share their tips with you on how they rose to the top ranks as women leaders. You might just even want to have a pencil and paper handy. So, I've been a hard worker, quite frankly, for a really long time. My entrepreneurial spirit boomed in the beginning of my early childhood. At the ripe age of 7, I started selling greeting cards door to door. And then my job, if you will, where I was employed, started at 13. I was the shop manager at the European Watch and Clock Shop, Lee Highway, Arlington, Virginia. Shout out to all my W&L friends who are listening in today. And when I got into high school, I spent my afternoon making cold calls for appointments for a Northwestern Mutual insurance agent. I didn't know that was the hardest part of the job. I just did it. So coming full circle, after moving to Jacksonville, I got licensed to sell insurance myself, and guess where? Right at Northwestern Mutual. I was an associate agent, and so got to make those cold calls for myself. That was really some of the best training I could have hoped for, and I still use those skills today. But I got to tell you, as a woman in my early 20s selling life insurance in the late 80s, That was really hard work. The field was largely male-dominated, and the clients I engaged with were as well. But that tough start opened doors to transition me into corporate America. And since then, my corporate career has led me to some of the finest financial institutions in the United States, and I've leaned into my entrepreneurial spirit through consulting and executive coaching to get to work with some really, really great people doing some fun things. But it all hasn't been a walk in the park. I have had peaks and valleys all along the way. I've been downsized, I've been promoted, I've been acquired, and I've been on the growth side of the acquisition table. I've worked for some of the finest leaders and the biggest tyrants, all who have shaped me as the person and the leader I am today. Throughout my career, my assignments have been wildly different. And although I can say this now and didn't quite feel that way at the time, I am indebted to all those people who invested in me and pushed me outside of my comfort zone so I could grow and learn. And this show is just one of those ways that I can pay it forward. But here is the deal. Being able to recognize and apply transferable skills and lean into that hard worker mentality is what really kept me from being stuck or being a victim when things were tough. No, I've never worked at a technology company before, but I was able to align my experience in banking to what CGI needed. So how'd that happen? Well, through the process, I learned the value of networking. And, you know, I think most people would say, hey, networking's good and yeah, there's benefits there, but I really don't know what it means or what to do. Or they might say, I'm not comfortable in a room full of people I don't know. So here are a few keys to unlock the secrets of networking. Networking is three fundamental things. Number one, it's a giver's process. The law of reciprocity is real. So if I help you or give you some information or even smile and make you feel, you know, positive, you're going to want to do the same for me, right? Number two, it's about continuous relationships. That first meeting is just that. It's the first. You need to take time, get to know people. And as you do, you're going to learn how you can help them. Therefore, back to number one, right? How you can give. And three, networking is a way to identify leads, job opportunities, or a way to learn about a person, a topic, or a company so you can make decisions. So when you network, you need to make a plan. When you're going somewhere into a networking event, who do you want to talk to and why? And what can you share for them? Likewise, there's three things that networking is not. This is probably even more important than the three things that they are. Number one, it's not a one-time event. You can't say, I'm networked by showing up one time to one event, going home and saying, I'm done. That just doesn't work. Number two, networking is not an interview. This is not the time to whip out your resume and all that jazz. This is a time to start cultivating that relationship. And number three, and this is really important to my people out there in sales, networking is not a sales ATM machine. You see, networking follows a sequential visibility life cycle. It starts when you're invisible, right? So people don't know who you are. You have to move from being invisible to visible. And how do you do that? You show up, right? You're consistent. But then you need to move from visible to credible. That's when you're able to actually add value, to give, to be part of something, to contribute. And only then, after you become credible, are you allowed to proceed to the highest level, and that's either profitable or achieving your goal. And maybe that goal is to meet someone, find a job, or make that big sales close. So here's the golden rule when it comes to networking. Care for and cultivate your network before you need your network. Nobody wants to be on the receiving end of the phone call or the email that says, hey, haven't talked in about, you know, 5-10 years. Hope you're well. Wondered if you had time for coffee or lunch. I just recently left. And you fill in the blanks, right? Because number one, if it's been that long since we've connected, we don't have a really great relationship going, and I really won't know how to help you. And number two, my appetite or desire to really get out there and hustle for you, I'm not quite sure you'd make the priority list. So it's important. Cultivating your network is about relationships. And if that's part of your daily thing, then you're going to be in a good place. But speaking of networks, I mentioned my awesome guests that are with us today. And I've had the pleasure of being in networks with these rock stars in a variety of spaces. Michelle Cook, who I mentioned, is the Atlantic Beach Police Department Chief. And she's been there for 2 years. It's your anniversary coming up, right?
It is.
And Michelle retired from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office as the 3-star director and 3rd in command after serving there for 25 years. Really important stuff. She travels the country teaching active shooter incident management. And she's held countless board positions and was recognized as JCCI's 50 Future Leaders, Chad Reed First Responder Award, and 6 Pillars of Character. I think one of the most important things, though, that I'd like you to know about her before she begins to share a little bit about her journey is that she's also a mom to 4 wonderful kids who were adopted right out of the local foster care system. And my other guest is equally dynamic. Miss Dolores O'Neill is the assistant chief at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. She was recently recognized within the last probably couple of weeks, I think, by Melissa Nelson, our state attorney, as the 2019 Law Enforcement Officer of the Year for her leadership in reducing crime in Zone 5. And for those of you who don't know the zones, that's a big, big zone. And so that's incredible. And she also received the City of Jacksonville's inaugural Champion Award. She was recognized as one of the outstanding women leader in United Way and leading lady of the 904, and served as co-chair of the Habitat Women's Build. Actually, that's when we reconnected.
Yes.
So another little funny thing about our network and our connection. So at this event that I just mentioned that Dolores co-chaired, I was serving as the executive sponsor for Women's Network event. I went out, and this is for a Build Her at Habitat.
Yes.
And I come up and I see this infectious smile that hasn't changed a bit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Dolores. Well, Dolores and I worked together over 25 years before at Merrill Lynch.
Yes.
And so I see her all with her scrambled eggs on her shoulders and everything coming up. And it was really awesome just to be able to catch up. And we have stayed closely connected. Both Michelle and Dolores are Leadership Jacksonville alumni like me. And I kind of they sandwich me. Michelle was the class of 2016.
Best class ever.
And
sorry. And had to plug it. Shameless plug.
And we have Dolores, who is the class of 2018.
The very best class.
Well, and so my class, the 2017, is the most impactful class. So
ooh,
here we go.
There we go.
Have the LJ alums all going on here. But anyway, it's been great. I certainly know that these women have a lot to share with you about their journey and things that will just inspire you. And when I think back, Dolores, when you and I were first working at Merrill Lynch when we were babies, and we had lost touch, you made a decision at that point to join law enforcement. How did you make that decision? What inspired you?
Well, I really loved working at Merrill Lynch. It was like one of my first jobs. However, I knew that working in 4 walls all day just was not for me. So I did a ride along with my aunt, but I actually had an opportunity to get in a car with a guy named Ike Brown, legend. I would employ anybody to just look up Ike Brown. Just a little bit, his son was killed by a young man, and he ended up forgiving this young man and actually even adopting him. It is the ultimate story of forgiveness and love. He's literally a legend. So when I sat in that car with him the very first day, I knew right then this is for me, because I knew that I could make an impact there. It was something that I loved, getting out, talking to people, helping them with their issues. And I was like, well, I think I would rather do this than deal with people's money. I think I would rather just deal with their lives.
Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of transferable skills in that
absolutely.
Space. So,
absolutely.
Michelle, How did you decide to get into law enforcement? I mean, this is a great field, and there's been a lot of progress, but I still see that it's sure. pretty well underserved with the number of women who are in law enforcement.
Sure, sure. First of all, thank you for having me on the show, and what a great opportunity to talk about a whole lot of issues. But my story on law enforcement, getting into law enforcement, is similar to Dolores's. I was actually a waitress and bartender at CJ's on Arlington Expressway a long time ago, and was in college, wanted to be a teacher, and needed an elective to finish out some of my college work. Took a criminal justice class. The instructor said, well, you can get extra credit if you go do a ride-along. And I knew teaching wasn't for me, but I wasn't quite sure what I was looking for yet. Got in the car. As soon as I sat down in the car, I'm like, this is what I want to do. This is it. And now you're talking 1989 that happened. And when I was doing my ride-along, there was no other women out there. But, you know, that didn't deter me whatsoever. So I went back within the week and changed my goals for college and decided I wanted to be a policeman, called my parents. My dad was excited. My mom cried. But as soon as I got in that car, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And it was really about getting out into the community, serving, and just being involved and engaged outside the four walls of a building.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an incredible story. And when I think about what you both shared, there are things that you glean from people that you shadowed.
Correct.
And there's a lot of different industries and professions that have job shadowing and internships, and this is a great time of year to be thinking about that, so you can in turn see yourself as the person that you're shadowing with. Gee, can I see myself there? So when I think about transferable skills, things that come to my mind are communications, problem solving, negotiation, prioritizing, composure, all that kind of stuff. Can you share an example of when you had to use any of these skills in your law enforcement roles?
All day, every day.
All day,
you know,
every day.
Yes, absolutely. All of those skills are transferable. And what I would tell people is all the things that you just mentioned, you know, they need to stay on top of those skills and practice those skills. And to your point of, you know, shadowing, if there's something that you're thinking in the back of your mind, man, I think I would really like to do that. Go do some sort of, in police work, we call it a ride-along, but find somebody in that industry and say, hey, can I come spend a couple hours with you and talk about what it is that you do? Because I'm drawn to that. I have a desire to do that. But with that being said, every one of those skills that you just mentioned absolutely are transferable, I think, into any industry.
I agree. I can say that, you know, when I first joined JSO in 1997, there was a woman there named Carol Halaki,
yes.
And she was an assistant chief. And I said to her, I said, one day I am going to be like you. I'm going to be an assistant chief. So at that point, I had to know what was her journey. What was it to get there? And I want to give a really huge shout out to Michelle right now, because Michelle has been my mentor for like ever, you know, and she's a real champion for women. And one of the things I would always lean on her is, hey, let's talk about this. And one thing about the thing I love about Michelle is that there's no candy coated answers. Like, she's going to tell you the honest truth. So be prepared for that. So I would definitely agree with her, which is you have to stay on top of all of those things. And I feel like in this profession, for me, communication is everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's how you talk to people, how you approach them. And that it goes from when you're a police officer to the top. And that could go for any profession. Because when I think back to Merrill Lynch, you know, in the role that I started in customer service, when you said that, I was thinking, man, those are the same skills that I use in customer service, which when you build a great foundation there, I think you can basically work anywhere if you know how to talk to people.
She hit it on the head. That's the foundation. Mm-hmm. Everything that you just mentioned is the foundation for success in any career. And don't limit yourself just because you may not have a skill set or a certificate or a degree. If you have those foundational items that you just listed, you can pretty much learn anything else.
Right.
So hard workers out there, I hope you're taking some notes, because when we think about what the possibilities are, what I just heard from both of them, if you focus on some of these transferable skills, your possibilities are endless.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to be constricted by what you think are the requirements if you really invest in yourself. And so that's amazing advice.
Well, can I add something here?
Sure.
So I interview people for a job. I interview people. And I can teach somebody how to be a police officer. I can send you to a school and teach you how to be a police officer. I can't necessarily teach those skills. So somebody who comes to the table with that foundation already in place is way ahead of anybody else.
There you go. Awesome. Well, I hear the music, and that means it's time for the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, but I'm not Pete, on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, hard workers. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And if you just joined us, I am not Pete the Job Guy. I am Lori Day filling in for Pete today while he does whatever he does when he's not here. But we're glad you're here with us. And my two amazing guests, Michelle Cook, Atlantic Beach Chief of Police, and Dolores O'Neill, the Assistant Chief with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. And we're going to change the format a little bit this morning because we've got a great lesson from Coach Larry. And I'd like to have our guests kind of talk about their perspective on that. So if we're going to take a moment and we're going to get some great tips and advice. So again, if you'd had put your pencil down during the break, pick it back up. Coach Larry.
At one point in my career, I used to work in a pretty toxic work environment. My team was responsible for doing a lot of the client-facing training and communications, and a colleague's team was responsible for all the back-end technology. So one day my phone rings. It's my colleague who leads that tech team, and he goes on to scream at me about a memo I wrote where, according to him, I took all the credit, didn't give his team any credit, and how I also did that on purpose, and on and on and on. Then I realized that he was on a speakerphone in his office with his best friend, who was also his direct report, by the way. And his direct report / best friend was hearing all of this. I was shaking mad. This event ruined my weekend and nearly ruined our ability to work together because I couldn't let it go. So today, I don't want to talk about how to address the situation in that moment. That's important, and it should be done. But what about the damage? What about the aftermath? Today, I want to talk about how to let things go so you don't negatively impact your own performance moving forward. Again, I'm not saying we should let go when someone insults us or attacks us, but how do you let go of certain mindsets that we have that don't work in our favor? Things like anger, jealousy, suspicion, anxiety, fear. I've mentioned before that we always have a choice about how we react. When we have a negative thought such as, I'm going to fail miserably, or my boss doesn't trust that I'm going to do a good job, or the team doesn't respect me. We have a choice to either feed those negative thoughts or to replace them with something positive. There's something called confirmation bias. If I have a negative thought or mindset, I'm going to look for something that's going to support, reinforce, in my mind, prove that negative thought and prove that I'm right to think that way. If I think the team doesn't respect me, I'm going to find examples that support that to be true. So knowing that you have a choice, replace those negative thoughts with something that is either positive or neutral. A neutral thought might be taking something at face value. If your boss says that they need an update on the project because she has a meeting on the board, take that at face value. Resist the temptation to assign that behavior to something negative. As humans, we tend to fill in the blanks or create these stories that are negative. If you have a negative mindset, say, attending a standing meeting, you hate attending this meeting, it puts you in a bad mood. Put yourself in the mindset that this is an opportunity. where you're going to find something positive about that meeting, or I'm going to be actively engaged in order to do what I can do to make that experience a positive one. And I'm not talking about multitasking or playing Fortnite on your cell phone. That's not what I'm talking about. Making it a positive experience, constructive for everyone. Another tool I like to use when letting go is to identify those things that you can control, cannot control, or influence. If something is truly out of your control, then don't waste your time worrying about it. If you control it or influence it, take action. But worrying about something that you can control is just a waste of time and energy. There are many other things that you can do to let things go. For example, for me, exercising in the morning works. If I know that I have a challenging day ahead, the fact that I exercised in the morning and did something good for myself, that helps me stay positive. And the endorphins that were released because I exercised also chemically help me stay positive. Also, focus on something more important. Get a life, if you will. If you spend so much time worrying what other people think, then perhaps you can replace that with something positive, like a new puppy or a new interest. But seriously, find something else to focus on. Finally, ask yourself, 5 years from now, will this matter? Will it be important? If the answer is no, move on and let it go. So, do you have problems letting things go? If you do, check out my website, MendozaAndOBrien.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. This is Larry O'Brien, and this is your leadership lesson. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Letting it go could be right up there on the top of the list for transferable skills. So, Michelle and Dolores, I would imagine law enforcement can evoke a lot of emotions, a lot of circumstances, maybe different than what Larry described, but emotional or stressful nonetheless. How do you let things go? And how does that translate to what you do?
As law enforcement, we deal with citizens and we deal with our colleagues and our bosses. I'm going to move the citizen kind of aspect away from it and just kind of, how do you deal with colleagues? How do you let go of colleagues and bosses? And, you know, you really have to come at it from the position of, people in general have my best interest at heart. So if something is done or said, let them have it by. You know, for me personally, I have a 25-year positive relationship with Dolores O'Neill. 25 years, okay? So if she does something or says something, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't meant to be negative, and I'm going to let it go. Now, if it really bothers me, I'm going to approach her about it, but I'm not going to stew on it. And I think what people have to understand is that if you have a positive relationship with somebody and there's an instance of something bad or something negative happening, let it go. Let them have a pass that time, because probably you've done it to somebody else, even inadvertently done it to somebody else. So Right. That's me. I look at, what is my relationship with this person? Have I worked with them for a long time? Do I know them well? And if they did something negative, I'm just going to let it ride. That's how I handle things.
So Dolores, then I'd like, because I think it's interesting when we think about our work colleagues and our work environment and then serving others. So for you guys, you're serving citizens. If I'm a customer service representative, I'm serving a customer of my company, or at a restaurant, my customers who are coming in to dine. Dolores, do you want to talk about the citizen side for you on the job?
Sure. So my officers, as well as myself, we deal with what we call customers, our citizens, all day. So one of the things I like to get across to my team that works with me is that they're calling us at one of the worst times of their lives. That we're not going there because they want, you know, they want to have a good time with us and that kind of thing. They're probably at one of the lowest points of their life, perhaps. Something that is going on around them requires us to be there. So things that people say, things that people do, don't take it personally against you. It's just something that they're going through at the time. So when I'm talking with citizens about perhaps something that occurred between them and one of my officers, I really rely on my transferable skill of listening and then communicating. Because a lot of times people just really want you to hear them. listen to them and acknowledge them and acknowledge what it is that they're going through, their pain, and how they figure that their officer was supposed to talk to them. So letting it go, like, that's why I tell my officers all the time during the little training that we do, and with my lieutenants, that I tell them to talk with their people about, is that we are there to serve. And again, when we go to citizens, it's not at a time where they're really happy to see us. But we want to create those moments, too, when we're proactive and then we're going out to see them on a better basis. So we are, that's where we come in with our community engagement, so that when they do see us or when they do need us, it will be more on a positive note, so that they've already established a relationship with us.
That's great advice.
But, you know, and I don't know if this is really going to go with what you're saying, but part of letting it go, I cannot help but really think about the mental health aspect of officers, and this could be for anyone in any profession. So every day I think about my officers going to a scene in which they've seen something violent, they've seen death, they've seen things that most people don't want to. And it's really hard for them to let that go at the end of the day. I think everybody thinks we just have these Superman and Superwoman capes on, and it's really hard to let it go. But the thing that I stress is, talk to someone. Find a mentor that you can go and you can talk to. Get a friend outside of your profession, you know, whatever profession that you have. Get a friend, go have coffee, talk about it, and then release those things that are weighing heavily on your mind. Unfortunately, suicide is really way more than we ever want it to be. Wish no life is taken by someone, but that's part of not being able to let some things go, and it's part of the mental health issue that we have going on. So I would say that finding someone outside of your profession, talking to someone, your spouse or a good friend, exercising and those kind of things. So those are the things that help me.
Can I add to something she said? Because it struck me with something that you said when we first started the show this morning. Dolores said, she mentioned investing in the relationship with the community, and that's also with your colleagues. And so if you take the time to invest in your network, whatever your network is, then when you do have a misstep or you do need help, you have people there who can help you. And listen, investing in a relationship is difficult. Everybody is busy. But I know with Dolores and I, we keep in touch through texting. You know, have a great day, have a great morning. And it's just those little touches. Yeah. So, you know, investing doesn't have to be you go to dinner every week. I mean, that's great if you can. I got four kids. Right. I'm lucky if I take a shower. I mean, see if I took a shower today. But investing is so important in your network. And to her point, find somebody outside of your profession who can just give you some honest advice on what they're seeing, because that could be really eye-opening. If you find somebody outside who says, and this happened to me, Michelle, you have become so cynical. Well, at work, my cynicism is accepted because of what we deal with every day. And I'm thinking I'm funny, right? Then I have a friend.
You are funny.
I have a friend who's not a policeman.
She's very funny.
You are so cynical. It you know, it's driving the rest of us crazy. So having somebody outside your profession can oftentimes provide you some insight on some of your character flaws or character attributes that maybe those in your inner work circle aren't seeing, but can help you succeed. Because my being cynical as a chief of police is probably not very appreciated. So it allowed me to say, hold on, I can think it in my head, but I got to zip the mouth shut. And that advice was provided to me by somebody in my network who I'd invested time with that was outside of my profession.
Yeah, I have a group of friends that text every morning and sometimes all day, but it is probably one of my best reliefs, and I love talking to them and actually hanging out with them. They have nothing to do with the police. It's outside of my profession. So when it's outside of my profession, it's a great escape. And they're all so funny, and it makes my day that much better. So it is about investing in those relationships.
So a couple of things on that I think really makes makes a good point, clearly your perspective, but it's transferable to different industries. So I think about the emotional trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think about people who are pathing towards a medical degree and may see some of the same things, depending on what that looks like. If you're a healthcare provider or if you're in a not-for-profit agency, and being able to just be present and there, but also care for yourself, and being able to be... when you know that someone else is thinking about you, again, that 2-second text, that just says that I am not being siphoned out of this world into this abyss of negative or crisis. There are other people out there thinking of me. It kind of brings you back. So thanks for sharing that. Want to just ask you both, what would you give your 20-year-old self? We were talking before the show started that... we're all hitting some different milestones here recently or upcoming. And just Dolores, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Don't limit yourself. Don't fear of failing. Don't have a fear of failing, because truly in those failures, you learn and you grow. And it's so important. Love yourself the way that you are. Not how you see other people in the world, like the Photoshop photos and, the really small, petite women that's probably Photoshopped or what have you, or anything like that. But just love who you are.
I love that. Comparison mm-hmm. is the thief of
yes.
joy.
Yes.
Michelle.
Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm going to have to steal that, Lori. That was brilliant.
Yes. I'm writing it down now.
So my 20-year-old self, I think I would look at that list of foundational, what's the word I'm looking for here?
The transferable skills?
Those transferable skills. I wish I would have started that sooner. It wasn't until I had about 10 years into my career that I had somebody sit me down and they said, you really have to start paying attention to this. Mm-hmm. The transferable skills of communication, of networking, of listening. I wish I would have focused on that a little bit earlier in my career, because I think it would have saved me a lot of headache and heartache. With that being said, recognizing that you're going to fail and being okay with it and then letting it go is great too. So that's what I would have told my 20-year-old self.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome advice. What would you say to our listeners, Dolores, who out there wanting to make a career change, but they're worried that they don't have prior experience in that industry or field?
I would say find someone that you can shadow. See if you can do a work along with them, whether it's in the banking industry. I've worked in the banking industry. I've worked in the mutual fund industry before. If it's in law enforcement, you can do a ride along. But I would say find someone who you say that you think they're pretty successful at it. Ask them to do a work along with them, and I'm sure that they will agree to that. Because people who are on the top of their game, they normally like to help other people.
That's the law of reciprocity.
Yes.
Yes. If you help them and they're part of it, they want to help you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. Great mm-hmm. advice. So a lot of the things that I think about with two amazing leaders here, you also have a life, right? And so, Michelle, we talked a little bit about you being a mom of 4 kids. Talk to us a little bit about how you integrate all of that stuff together. What's your work life? I mean, to me, there's not such thing as balance. It's you got to kind of teeter-totter the choices. But what's your work-life routine?
Okay, there is no balance.
Right.
It's a totally rhythm. Agree. It's a work-life rhythm. Say that 5 times fast.
Yes.
It's about priorities, and it's about establishing priorities and communicating with the family about what's important. I've told my kids, if there's something that you really need me to be at, or something I really need to be at, or something you really want to do, we have to communicate. You have to communicate that to me. You can't wait until day of. And, you know, when they were younger, we were still kind of working this out. But as they have grown older, they'll say, "Hey, Mom, I really would like for you to be here at this." And I clear my schedule from work and make that a priority. On the other end, my work stuff that's really important that I really need to be at, I tell the kids, "Hey, guys, this Monday night, I have to be here for this. So, you know, just understand that's where I'm at and that's what I'm doing." I've taken my kids to work with me, and they absolutely love to go to the office and sit in the desk and play policeman at my office. Yeah. So I think it's just... it's about being an open and honest with your families and understanding. I have a huge family. I'm the mom of four, bonus mom of two more. So it's my husband and I, and in full house, we have six kids in there. And so it's really about communicating with the family about what the family priorities are, and then kind of working together and understanding that we all are going to be supportive of each other. I will tell you that my day starts very early, up by 4:45, doing laundry, making breakfast, loading the dishwasher. I am pretty, well, not pretty task-oriented. I'm very task-oriented, so I get up and get things done and stay on a schedule, which I think also helps the family with, you know, hey, every morning we're going to do this, this, and this, and every evening we're going to do this, this, and this. Now, not that I'm not flexible, but staying on task and getting things done and involving the family, and that really helps me at work. My kids know that if it's an emergency, they call me. My work knows that if my kids call, I'm answering the phone. My kids know that if they just want to chat, like my daughter's asking me right now what she should wear this afternoon, that's a text message, and I'll get to it when I can. So, you know, there is no perfect work-life balance, and it's never going to be perfect. And you know what? I have dirty laundry to do and dishes to do, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. And then, you know what? My inbox still has stuff in it from last week. And you know what? That's okay. I'll get to it when I get to
let
it.
Let it go.
Let it go.
I love that.
Let's break out in song.
For all of those, I don't know if we'll do that this early on a Sunday morning, but for all of us recovering perfectionists, that's really, really good advice, because that's just added pressure we don't need to put on there.
Right.
All right. So real quick, I'm going to ask you both, what's your pet peeve, Dolores?
Ooh, my pet peeve is someone not telling me the truth.
Ooh. All right.
Liars. I was going to say liars.
Gotta pick another one.
Oh, come on. Second pressure. Second pet peeve is dirty feet.
All right.
I don't know. I had to. She said pull something, right? I had to do something.
All right. Superhero. Who's your favorite superhero and why?
Without a doubt, it would be Wonder Woman.
Why?
Well, because she can do it all. You know, she has that lasso. She can lasso. She can fly. She has superpowers. She's just awesome woman.
Cool. Superpower, Michelle.
Since I can't be Wonder Woman, Charlie's Angels. They're superheroes, right?
All three of them.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And awesome. We've been and Charlie's they carry Angels. Guns.
And they carry guns.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, all you hard workers out there, this is it. Sunday is your prep day to hit the ground running for the start of the week. You could have slept in today. You know that? You could have mowed the lawn before it got to be 1,000 degrees. You could have probably done a bunch of things like whatever Pete's doing today. But, you know, you didn't. You decided to make an investment in yourself. You tuned in. You showed up. And the difference between working hard and hardly working is doing that. Sharpening your saw, investing yourself, being open to change and try to improve yourself. And not be complacent. So great job. And a huge, huge thank you to Michelle and Dolores for being here and serving our community. We appreciate all that you do and what your officers do for us and keeping us safe. You put your lives on the line to make a difference for us, and you lead from the front. So thank you for your service. Thank you for your advice today. It was fantastic. And we certainly appreciate all that you do and your service and your insight.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure. And, you know, I think the last thing, but certainly not least, is our little inspiration coming from Boston Danny. He is here and ready to bring in the Sunday for you. If you would like to recognize someone's birthday or their anniversary or a special event, or just go out to PeteTheJobGuy.com and click on the weekly contributor tab, you can fill out a request for Boston Danny, and he'll give you a shout out like only Boston Danny can. So we're going to turn it over to Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here, checking in with yous. To start today, I just want to say, Laurie, you're doing awesome. Michelle and Dolores were great guests, and their hard work and dedication is much appreciated. I'm wondering if we even want to bring Peter back. So a little research after my Deep South excursion and a few of the unusual items on the menus that I looked at that I noticed. So let's talk about grits. You know that grits actually originated in New England? When most people think of New England food, you think of lobster, clam chowder, baked beans, scrod, Indian pudding, cranberries, and apple pie. Yes, folks, we claim apple pie too. But how many of us have a craving for white field corn with the hulls removed that's been boiled in water for many hours with a little salt until it becomes a sort of a mush? Yuck. And yet, the dish, once a hearty staple on New England tables, hasn't quite disappeared. You can still buy it in a few places, dried or in a can. It's known as hulled corn, or samp, or hominy, or cornmeal mush. And as it's been explained to me, that samp is actually kernels of corn ground coarse for breakfast cereal. Hulled corn and cornmeal mush are roughly as I described it earlier, and hominy is another name for cornmeal cooked in water, as in hominy grits, which Southerners claim as their own. Of course, in truth, hominy grits were invented by the Algonquin Indians who lived in New England. So there you have it, folks. So I got your shout-outs. Keep them coming. You know I love them. I want to wish a happy birthday to Elizabeth Brady from your team, and to Kim Scott, Amy Byers, and Buddy Pelza. Have a wicked pisser birthday, and hope all your wishes come through for you, folks. And Laurie, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday, and keep on hard working, folks. That's what we're here for.
All right, Danny, always a good laugh, as Pete would say. It just makes me laugh. Hard workers, thanks for making us part of your day. If you missed any part of this broadcast and you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, no problem. We put the podcasts out there and they'll be uploaded on PeteTheJobGuy.com Monday afternoon. Pete will be back next week. And I hope with you joining us today, you had a few laughs, that you learned a few things, and that you're ready to get out there and get it done. You just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.